You know, Louise is a mighty woman of God. She's not perfect, but she's a mighty woman of God. You know, she wants to grow and learn and develop like us. And she has made herself available to the Lord. And the Lord has decided to use her. And, you know, Louise, we love you here. We believe in you. You're an inspiration and example to all of us here. So come take your place.
I love yous all. And that woman there, I love her. You know, she's a great woman. She's a good friend to me. And I often get a slap on the wrist sometimes when I do things wrong, which is what I need. But this morning, you know, we're in a good place here, all of us, this morning. Amen. We're here. God is in the house. Amen. And this morning I want to bring a word about how God guides us. And we're continuing on with the series, Illuminate. And we've heard, you know, over the last couple of weeks, different aspects of Illuminate. And this morning, as I said, I want to bring about how does God guide us. And just before I get into the word, you know, every day, as people, we have to make decisions. Would you agree with me? Yeah? Few people? Okay. Well, we make decisions about what we wear, what we eat, where we go. Every day, we have to make decisions about life. And, you know, some of these decisions include our relationship, marriage, what way we rear our children, about our jobs, home, money, our giving, our possession, and the list, guys, goes on and on and on. And some of these decisions are big and some of these decisions are small. But what's important for us here today is that we make the right decisions. And sometimes as humans, when we make decisions, it can result in joy and happiness. For example, if you ever look at a flower, like a tulip or a rose, and you look at that, and you see the beauty in that. That brings joy and happiness for some people. And then there's times then where we experience unexpected joy and happiness, where we experience heartache, where we experience pain through life, through things that have been dealt at us. And whatever these decisions are, whether they're good or whether they're bad, they all have an outcome. Would you agree with me? And you know, there was one man that I read about, he had to make a choice. And this man, he was stuck on the roof of his house in a flood. And he began to pray to God, this man did. And I'm going to call this man Roofman, okay? But this man that was stuck on the roof of his house, he began to pray to God, asking God for help. So a man in a rowing boat came by. And the man in the rowing boat said to him, "Hey, jump in, I can save you." And Roofman replied back, "No, I'm praying to God, I'm waiting on God, God is going to save me." So the man in the rowing boat said, "Okay," and he went off about his business. Then a motorboat came by, and the man in the motorboat said, "Hey, jump in, I can save you." So Roofman replied, "No." He said, "I'm praying to God. I have faith. God is going to save me." So the man in the motorboat went on about his business. Then a helicopter came by. And the pilot threw down a rope. And he said, "Hey, grab the rope. I can save you." And Roofman replied, "No." He said, "I'm praying to God. I have faith. God is going to save me." Guess what happens? The water rose above the house and Roofman drowned. He gets to heaven and he finally gets his opportunity to discuss all of this with God. And he says to God, he says, "Hey God," he said, "I had faith in you. Where were you? I ended up drowning. Where were you, God?" So God replies, "Hello, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, a helicopter. What else do you expect? So here we see missed opportunities. And for some of us, sometimes God seems to be absent. Sometimes he seems to be absent in our lives. And we have those questions. Where is he? Where is he in the midst of this situation that I'm in? So how do we not miss out? How do we as people not miss out on those God moments? And as I said, I want to talk this morning about how God guides us. So Father, I commit this word to you, Lord. Father, I commit your people to you. I ask, Father, that your revelation would come through this word this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come and intercede, that you will hover over this place this morning, that every mind, every ear would be attentive to hear this word, Father. We ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. So how does God guide his people? Well, he promises to guide those who are walking with him. He says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Another scripture declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I know my sheep, and they know me. And then it talks about in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye over you. Do you remember back in 2000 when that program hit our screens, Big Brother? And it was about a group of people living in a house, and they were living in a house for about 3 months. And during that 3 months, there was cameras all over the place watching these people, watching how they lived in the house. But the people that made money off the back of that were the media and were the production crew. But God says here this morning, I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will watch over you with my loving eye. God is always on the constant watch of looking out for his people in the house and outside in the world. You see, God is omnipresent. He is the everywhere God. And if I was to say to you, let's say this bottle of water was filled up with air. So just disregard the water in it for a minute. So let's say it's filled up with air. Would that mean that there's no air outside of this bottle? And just like God, he's so omnipresent, he's everywhere. And before we move on this morning, God today is all here. There's not one part of God lacking in this house. God is not absent here this morning. And God doesn't come to this service with things on his mind. He's all here today. And just like the psalmist David said, where can I hide from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. So what is God's general will for us, his people? Well, you see, God's general will for all people, in all places, in all circumstances, is revealed to us by us knowing him. And to do this, it's a matter of choice. We all have a choice here today, whether we choose to know him or not to know him. And last week, we looked at the Holy Spirit. And if you missed last week's, get onto the podcast and have a listen to the Holy Spirit sermon. But we discovered last week that the Holy Spirit was in the very beginning. He was in the beginning of creation. He was there with the Father and the Son. So therefore, we must allow the Holy Spirit to take up residence within us. Because when we do that, he gives us a desire to do God's will. And he helps us to make choices every day. You know, from the Bible, we know that there are certain things that are wrong. And we can be certain God will not guide us to do these things. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, if a man and a woman are married, and let's say, for example, this man and this woman decide, well, I want to have a relationship with somebody new. God doesn't contradict his word. Because God says in Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. Our God does not contradict his word. And God's guidance is something that grows out of a personal relationship with him. You see, the better we know God, the better we are able to recognize his will for our marriage, for work, for rearing our children, for being single, for dating, for handling our finances. Whatever is going on in your world, God can guide you through that. And in return, he has promised, just as we see in there on the screen, Jeremiah 29, I have a plan for you. We heard it being sang here this morning. We heard it being prophesied here this morning. Our God has a plan here for everybody in this room. You know, God doesn't have a plan. For example, Paula's plan is not my plan. And my plan is not Paula's plan. We all have an individual plan. And God has a specific plan for your life. And so often we hear the scripture and the scripture is rhymed off like a nursery rhyme. You know, God has a plan for you. God has a great plan for you. Well, you know, God had a plan for Moses. And Moses became a great leader to a great nation. And what a plan Moses fulfilled. And Paul, when Paul repented and obeyed, he became the apostle to the Gentiles, us, which he preached the word of God. What an extraordinary plan Paul got to fulfill. So if we are to find out about God's plan for our lives, we need to ask him. We need to ask him. It's as simple as we need to ask God about them. We need to consult God before making decisions. And sometimes as Christians, we run ahead of ourselves. We make mistakes because we didn't consult God. We go ahead and we make plans about life, about ministries, because we take it upon ourselves to throw ourselves into stuff. And we shrug off consulting God. You see, we can't adapt an attitude of I'm not asking him just in case it's not his will for my life. You see, I'm going to do my own thing. It's my life. But you know, God did warn his people. He did warn in Isaiah 31:2, woo to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. You see, our attitude needs to be one of humility. We need to have an attitude of humbleness. And if you don't have that here this morning, have faith because God can give it to you. You see, Mary was a woman that said, here I am, Lord, use me. I humbly commit and I humbly serve before you. She had a spirit that was willing to bow down, a spirit that was willing to obey God. And it's a bit like riding a bike, guys. Guidance can be a bit like riding a bike, providing the bike is moving in the right direction. You see, the steering on the bike can take care of itself. However, we can't steer a bike that has gone nowhere or we'll fall off it. And maybe your life is not moving in the right direction. And maybe you're pedaling away on that bike and you're still stuck in the same place that you were 6 months ago or last year. But the moment we are prepared to consult God and do his will, he begins to reveal his plan to us. He begins to reveal his plan for your life to you. And you know, Jesus was the supreme example of this. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit for 40 days and for 40 nights. He was taken into the wilderness and he humbly submitted to the Holy Spirit. For 3 years on this earth, Jesus was led consistently by the Holy Spirit. There was not one thing that Jesus didn't do without consulting the Father and consulting the Holy Spirit. So scripture is full of instructions. As outlined in the Bible, it's full of instructions of how we can live out this life. It speaks of our relationship with God. It speaks of prayer and how to grow in our relationship with him. It talks about relationships in the home, relationship with other believers in the family. It speaks of how we treat our enemies. And it speaks of our attitude towards our boss, our employees. And it speaks about gifts the gifts that you have locked up inside of you and how God can use you to fulfill the plan that he has for this nation. It speaks about rebuking, correcting, teaching and training in righteousness. And when we read scripture and pray, our responsibility is to seek and obey the things that God teaches us from them. That's our responsibility. And on one particular occasion in Acts, the Christians were worshipping, they were praying and they were fasting. And the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them." So after they fasted and after they prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And Barnabas and Paul were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit to Cyprus to preach the word of God. But how did the Christians know in Acts 13 the will of God? Well, probably when they were praying, a talk came into their mind, which is a common way in that God speaks to us. And for some of the Christians, it was probably a strong impression. Or maybe it was through feelings that they experienced. Do you ever get that as a, you know, when you know something is good or something is bad and you get that gut feeling inside of you and you can nearly feel it in your bones, whether it's to make the right decision or the wrong decision? Well, this is what happened with the Christians in Acts. You see, what they did was they fasted, they prayed, they obeyed, and they knew from their gut feeling it was a God moment. These Christians knew that. So when we are pressed with thoughts, with feelings, or strong impressions about decisions, our responsibility is to test. Our responsibility is to test these thoughts and feelings. Are these thoughts and feelings loving? Do they promote love? Because God is love. And if they don't promote love, guys, put them on the back burner. Don't even entertain them. Are these thoughts and feelings in line with the Bible? Are these thoughts and feelings going to strengthen, encourage, and comfort you? And do our feelings and thoughts and impressions bring the peace of God into these decisions? You know, 7 years ago, I was going through a bit of a shaking in my own life. And we had been married, myself and Stephen, and we had two kids and life was rosy, everything was great. We were going to a vibrant church in the city centre, and there was about 500 people attending that church, and it was well established. And for 2 years during that time, there was a shaking going on in me, and I began to feel that God was calling me out. I didn't know where he was calling me to. So I began to seek a friend of mine and I began to share this with her, and she began to, you know, say to me, "You need to go, you need to read the word of God, you need to go, you need to pray about it." And I said, "Yeah, but where's he taking me?" You know, I didn't know where God was going to take me. So anyway, for 2 years we had met Noel and Sharon in Kilkee on the beach. And for when we had met them, I knew in my spirit that God was calling us to join them. But yet I didn't want to confirm it and I didn't want to say it out publicly. But when we came back from Kilkee, I said to Stephen, "God is moving us. God is moving us out." So he said to me, "Okay, well, let's go. Let's test this." Because sometimes you need to test things. So we had told our pastor we're going to go. We're going to go for 3 months. And I'm not promoting anybody to leave here today. But this is my story and this is what we had to do. So I went away and I prayed, I fasted, tested the spirit, and we ended up in Rialto. And the minute I walked in, I knew something resonated within my spirit. Something told me this was where we were to belong. This was where God was taking us. And through that journey for the last 6-7 years, I have grown. Because when I was back in the church in the city centre, I was comfortable, I was content. I just wanted me and Stephen and our two kids, and I didn't want anybody else coming in. But when God moved us out, he was moving us out into leadership. He was moving us out into bringing his word to people. He was moving us out into different ministries. Because that's what God does, guys. God is not going to leave you sitting here today. He's not going to leave you sitting in the pews. We've just heard about Josh taking over the stew crew and going to lead that up. This is what our God does. And when we say we're willing and we put our hand up and we say, here I am, Lord, I want to go and I want to do the work that you've called me to do, he is going to move us out. And one thing we can be certain of, if God is calling us, we will not rest. Your spirit will not rest, guys, if God is calling you out. And we've heard in this church over the last couple of weeks about the vision, about taking Clondalkin, about taking the city, about taking this great city. God is going to move in each of you. Believe you me, he's going to move. And he's not going to leave you sitting where you are, because the Spirit of God is going to come and he's going to jingle something inside of you to take hold of this city. We sang about it, a fire burning within us, and that's what God is going to do, because he wants to get this nation and he wants to reach this nation. Amen? Yes. Amen. So just like some of the people in the Bible, God uses his guidance in different ways, and he uses them in unusual ways. He called a prophet called Agabus, who predicted that the spirit, that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. That was true prophecy. He spoke to Joseph in a dream. He spoke to Paul about visions and dreams, about a man begging in Macedonia. And guidance can come through angels. He appeared to Peter in the cell, instructing him to get up, and the chains fell off him. He even spoke to Samuel as a little boy, as an audible voice. God spoke to Samuel, and he was calling him. He was constantly wooing him and guiding him for his plan and his purpose. And you know, I have had words, I have had prophecy spoken over me in the intercession on a Thursday night. I'm involved in the team up there. And we have had, as a team, words spoken over us. We have had many nights of dreams and visions coming to pass, where it has actually come down onto the congregation. It's overflowed into the congregation. And you know, on New Year's Eve, we were here, there was a party here in the house on New Year's Eve, and the place was packed. And we had the party first, and then we had the service. Who was here on New Year's Eve? Yeah, remember that? Great night, chaotic night. But on that night, Noel decided that we'd all get into groups and that we'd all pray in groups. And out of nowhere, these three people arrived, and they were three black people. And I said to Gail Geraghty, I don't know whether she's here in the house today, I remember saying to Gail, they're angels. They have to be angels. These people just arrived. And then when the bells, when it struck 12, all of a sudden they were gone. So I said, the first question I'm going to ask Jesus when I get to heaven, who are those three people on the 31st of December in 2011? And if I find out, I'll send out a telegram to tell you as I was right. Amen. Okay, but God asks us to use our common sense, and that's another way that he can guide us. It says in Psalm 32:9, do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. You see, horses and mules, they need to be controlled. They need a master. And if they don't have a master, chaos is going to be out there on our streets. But God expects us to use our intelligence. And the New Testament speaks quite a bit about us using our mind. We are to love God with all of our mind as well as our heart. And if we abandon common sense, then we end up in all kinds of situations. You know, common sense is to be taken into account when choosing a partner for life. Are you spiritually compatible? Do you both respect the other spiritually? Is your marriage partner a good friend? Are they a soulmate to you? Is there a personal compatibility there? Are you physically compatible? I think that's most important. Do you fancy each other? And you know, one of the advantages of not sleeping together before getting married is to ensure foundations have been built on friendship. You see, the world will tell us, yeah, go ahead, sleep together, see if you're sexually compatible. But God gives us wisdom. He gave us common sense. He gave us our intelligence. God gave us a brain to use to know what the best path is to take. And believe you me, I've been there. You know, I've been in that place myself, and my husband, we were living in sin. We weren't married. And you know, in order for us to put our life right, we had to align our life right with the Word of God. And it was hard work, guys, and it will take hard work. And you know, taking hold of issues, seeking advice, weighing up the pros and cons. But all this is part of you growing up to become a much more mature Christian. This is what God does. This is His guidance. He takes us by the hand and He shows us how to do it. But listen to what the writers of Proverbs says. The wise listen to advice. But then he warns, plans fail for lack of advice. But on the other hand, with many advisors, they succeed. You see, the writer of Proverbs encourages us to make plans by seeking advice. We are responsible. We need to be able to trust God to give others wisdom as well as ourselves. The best advisors are usually godly Christians, people with wisdom and experience who we respect. Someone you can be accountable to. Someone that you can say, yeah, I want to live my life right for God. I want to do the will of God. So I want to be accountable to somebody. I am accountable to Sharon Kenny. I'm also accountable to the leadership in this church. So it's good to have somebody that you can say, yeah, I want to live my life. I want to live my life right by the Word of God. So in order to do that, you can have a person that you can be accountable to. But having said all this, it is important to remember, while seeking advice, our decisions are between us and God. And guidance, guys, can bring open and closed doors. How God guides is His responsibility. But we must not tell God how we must guide. You see, God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him when the right door will open and when the door will close. That's what He wants us to do. But sometimes as people, we want to know things in advance. We want to get ahead of ourselves. But maybe God is saying, wait. Maybe God is saying, I've got some more work to do in you. Or maybe He is turning you in another direction. You know, God spoke to Joseph when Joseph was 17 years of age. This was a jumped up little brat. That's all he was at that time, Joseph was. And Joseph had got a dream about his family and about himself. But then Joseph ends up being sold off to slavery. Then he ends up being put in prison. So I'm sure when he was in prison, he was saying to himself, what happened to that dream I got all those years ago? Is that ever going to come to pass? 13 years later, that dream came to pass. That's when God came through for Joseph. So what is God saying in all of this? The waiting was part of the preparation for Joseph. And there might be some of us here today that were in the waiting. And during that waiting, this is part of God's preparation for us through His guidance. And sometimes we hear God correctly, but we get the timing wrong. Just like Joseph, he got the timing wrong because he wanted his dream to be fulfilled straight away. Because when his dream was fulfilled, he became the prime minister over Egypt. But he wasn't going to be able to do that at 17 years of age because God wasn't finished with him. God had stuff to deal with Joseph, stuff that he had inside of him. And that's for some of us here today. There's stuff going on in some of us inside of us, and we want to be way ahead of the race. But God is saying, hold on, wait, I still have some more work to do in you. In the area of guidance, we can all make mistakes. And I heard this saying before, it's okay to rattle a handle on a door, but not to kick it down. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his companions, they traveled throughout Bithynia, I think that's how you say it, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go on. It's in Acts 16:7. So that was a closed door for Paul. Jesus didn't want them going into that place. So he closed that door on them. Then Paul talks about an open door in 1 Corinthians 16:9, about open doors of effective work that were going to take place. So guys, there is timing in everything with God. So when we gaze on the door that is closed, we need to be mindful not to miss the door that is open. Because God will open it in time if that is right for you. And our task is to follow. Our task is to trust. Our task is not to be in a hurry. Our task is to persevere despite the circumstances. My good friend Jeff, 4 years you're coming to this church? Yeah? 4 years he's coming. And on occasion, he'd just say to me, Lou, I don't feel God. And I keep saying to him, Jeff, persevere, press in. Is that right? That's right. Amen. So for us, we need to be persevering. We need to be pressing in. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be finding out what is it that God has for us. Be patient, pray, think, talk to wise Christians. Do God's will in the small things. This is the best preparation for knowing it in the big things ahead. And be mindful as Christians that we all make mistakes. Persevere with one another. When you fall down, get back up. When you fall down again, get back up again. When you fall down again, get back up and get back up. It says in Joel 2:25, God will give back what the locust has taken from you. See, this is our God that wants to take your failings and your faults, and he wants to give you back what the enemy has taken away from you. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who love being called according to his purpose. Jesus is our rescue remedy. He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And the good shepherd Jesus, who loves his sheep, he knows each of you here today by name, your personality, who is playful, who is attentive, who is stubborn. And most importantly, the good shepherd knows the plan he has for your life and the joy that's set before you. You see, Jesus is the sheep gate. This is the shepherd who lay down in the opening of the sheepfold. This is the shepherd who allows things in and things out. And he knows when you enter the sheepfold, and he knows when you leave the sheepfold. And today, God is concerned. He is concerned for all the sheep in the sheepfold, and for the ones far off, and for the ones that are in the sheepfold. And you know, we began this series, Illuminate, and the scripture that was given was Isaiah 54. And I'm just coming to the end. And that scripture was about stretching our tent pegs, going deeper with God, not holding back, spreading out to the left and to the right. And this morning, if you feel that you've missed God's will, it's not the end for you. Because God can restore. God is able to make something good out of whatever is left in your life, whether it's a short time or a long time. God is able to restore. And the good shepherd is calling you back into the sheepfold today. He wants you to come back in. He wants to guide you. This good shepherd is the one that can help you with your struggles. If you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with bitterness, with anger, if you're struggling with whatever, God can help you. He can guide you in all of those areas. You see, his Holy Spirit will help you come under his guidance, his trust, his care, his watch. And all you have to do is trust. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is have the faith to say, here I am, God. I want to do your will. I want to come under your watch. I want you to guide me. God, I want you to be in control of my life. His Holy Spirit will teach you. His Holy Spirit will teach you to hear his voice. I'm a Christian 17 years. And yes, I've had ups and downs. There has been bumps in the road. And there still is bumps in the road. But I have learned through these 17 years, like Mary, to be humble, to be obedient, to submit to the will of God. When I've received words of prophecy, when I have received prayers, I've learned to ponder those things in my heart. And I've learned to say, okay, God, maybe that's not for this time. And I've learned to take those words out, those prophecies out, and say, yes, God, I see where you are talking to me there. And maybe that's for some of you here this morning. Maybe you are far off from God here this morning. Maybe you are out of the sheepfold here this morning. And I want to give an opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to know this great God. To know this great God that we serve in this house. This God that cares for us. This God that loves us. This God that has a great plan and a great future for your life. You see, he wants to give you a specific plan. He wants to give you a specific purpose. This is the God that will guide you for the rest of your life. Amen.